praise God for food. Can you think of anything for which you have given more thanks? There's something in connection with this that I want to show you from the book of Amos. Keep listening.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Good morning. Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Yes, praise God for food, because I can't think of anything, for, at least in my life, for which I have given more thanks for something else. In fact, a couple of years ago, one of my daughters saw me praying for my food. And knowing that at that time, back in the year 2000, I had been a Christian for over 23 years, she asked me, how many times, Dad, have you given thanks to God? Well, that's quite a question, so I figured, okay, let's do the math. If I had three meals every day and given thanks each time, that would be 3 times 365 times 23. You know, that would be 1,995 times a year, or 25,185 times in 23 years. I think I could say there is nothing else for which I have given more thanks. What about you? Likewise, let us praise God for the food of His Word. Surely we have all given thanks for the Scriptures. I would guess that we have not given thanks as much. Though if God revealed how many times we have, we might be surprised to see that it is more than we had anticipated. If you have given thanks even once, then it was because you realized the great value that it holds for your life. With these thoughts, let us now go to the book of Amos. We left off last week in Amos chapter 8. We begin now at verse 9, where it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist, and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day." Starting back in verse 7, to the end of the book of Amos, 20 times God says, "I will," and then explains the action He is going to take. Most of it is how God is going to destroy Israel. At the end of the book, we will see something wonderful that God is going to do. The imagery of mourning for Israel shows joy and prosperity turning into sadness and adversity. It would be like total darkness in the middle of the day. This is not a literal event, but it is symbolic of what was going to happen. What God was going to do to Israel was as radical as the sun going down at noon. Just as the wicked overturn the moral order of the universe, so will the Lord, with his judgment, break through the order of nature, cause the sun to go down at noon, and envelop the earth in darkness in clear day. The words of the ninth verse here are not founded upon the idea of an eclipse of the sun, because an eclipse of the sun is not the setting of the sun. But to any man, the sun sets at noon when he is suddenly snatched away by death in the very midst of his life. And this also applies to a nation when it is suddenly destroyed in the midst of its earthly prosperity. Celebrations would turn into times of mourning. Songs of joy would become songs of lamentation. Their clothing would become sackcloth. They would shave their heads. It would be comparable to the mourning for an only son who has died. The end of Israel would be like a bitter day. Now remember that Amos is speaking these words during the days of Israel's prosperity. If adversity tried and sifted men, prosperity tried and sifted them much more. God is warning them ahead of time how drastically things were going to change because of their impenitence. Verses 11 to 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. Yet again, the Lord announces what was to be coming. This continual announcement by God was to get them to repent. Otherwise, he would just do it. God would send a famine on the land, he said, not a famine of bread. You know, we often curse television, but there are some good things about it. For example, we have been able to see lands where the people are suffering from a famine of bread. And it's not a pretty sight, is it? You know how strong your desire is for food. Usually when people are in worship services on a Sunday morning, by the time services are done, everyone's ready for lunch. And would you not like to have your favorite food right now if someone were to serve it to you? And as I'm mentioning food, what is happening to you right now? You're thinking about food. What would it be like if, when you went home, there was no food? Is there some food that you do not like, but you know that the food is good for you? For example, the first President Bush, we all know, doesn't like broccoli. Now, what do you suppose he would do if we had a famine and the only thing to eat was broccoli? I am persuaded that he would eat it and may even enjoy it. But what if the broccoli was not even available? Now, God also said that there would not be a thirst for water. You know, everything that we just said about food, we can say about water. I know many people who do not like to drink water. If nothing else was available to drink, then I am sure they would drink it to preserve their lives. However, in verse 11, God is speaking in such a way to make the Israelites realize that there was a famine coming that would be worse than a famine of bread or a thirst for water. It would be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, you have heard it said that you better be careful what you ask for. Here we see that truth coming to light. Do you remember, if you were listening several weeks ago, Amos 2, verse 12? That the Israelites had told the prophets not to preach? Listen to that verse again. Amos 2:12. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Do you remember Amos 5:10 and the manner in which Amos said the Israelites were treating speakers of truth? Here's again that passage. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Do you remember, perhaps last week or the week before, Amos 7? verses 12 and 13, when Amaziah told Amos to quit preaching the word of God? Here again those verses. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread, and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence." Well, God was saying, now they would have what they wanted. They will not hear, so God says, they shall not be able to hear. From John 9, we learn that those who do not want to see the light are condemned to the darkness. There Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." In Matthew 13, Jesus taught that those who do not use what God has given will have taken away from them what they do have. Matthew 13:12. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Romans 1 has a list in it that shows you the life of the ungodly when they no longer want God and his word. "Those who do not want any knowledge of God shall suffer the consequences." Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." 2 Thessalonians 2 teaches that those who do not receive the love of the truth, but want to believe in lies, shall have it as they desire. 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. "And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, friends, how is it that a famine of hearing the words of the Lord could be worse than a famine of bread or a thirst for water? Well, listen to this. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, God sent a prophet to the king of Judah. The prophet explained to the king what it had been like when Israel forsook the word of God. Asa, who was the king of Judah to whom this prophet was sent, had restored the word. Now listen to what the prophet said, and you will see the solution for the problems our society is facing right now. I'm going to read to you from 2 Chronicles 15, 2-6. "And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity." Boy, that sure sounds like our land. Ezekiel 7 promised Judah what would happen if there was a famine of hearing the word of God. Ezekiel 7, verse 26. "Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders." Micah 3 also pictures the result. "People will be living in darkness, and they will not know what is wrong, and they will not know how to fix it." Micah 3:6. "Therefore, you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them." Now, with all these passages I've just given to you, and with the passage that I've taken this thought from in the book of Amos, many people think, hey, that'd be a blessing. Don't try to tell me it'd be a bad thing not to hear God's word. See, those people don't care for the word of God. Preaching the word of God is repulsive to them. My friends, please let us learn from Israel that they did not want the word of God, but when it was taken away for good, they missed it and became desperate in wanting to hear it. Those who think this is a blessing fail to recognize our true nature. We have bodies, but we are spirits or souls. Now, they think that they are doing okay now without the Word of God. So why would a famine of hearing the Word of God be so bad? Well, think of it this way. The body can take in junk food and live. The quality of life will diminish in time, though it's so slow, the diminishing of that health is unnoticed. But finally, when a person is mature, he recognizes the need for real food. Likewise, the spirit can take in junk food and live. And I use the word live there in a very limited way. However, the quality of life will diminish in time, though imperceptibly. A person will have all kinds of problems of living. He should finally recognize that he needs real food for the soul. Deuteronomy 8 makes a powerful statement showing just how dependent we are on the Word of God for life. Remember in Matthew 4 that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8 when he was hungry. He had been fasting for 40 days, yet he realized that the Word of God provides life in a greater way than food does. Deuteronomy 8:3 said this to the Israelites. So God humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. If God through Moses and Jesus quoting Moses say that we live by the Word of God, then if we do not take in the Word of God, what is the result? Death. And there's another passage in the Bible, Isaiah 59, that shows us what spiritual death is. Now, before I read that text to you, let me ask you, how much do you treasure being saved so that you can go to heaven? And how much do you treasure prayer? With those thoughts in mind, listen to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. But someone says, there are people who ignore the Word of God now and they don't seem to suffer. Well, the Israelites to whom Amos was speaking were ignoring the Word of God and they were succeeding materialistically. But their suffering was still to come. Those who have no desire for the Word of God do not realize how they are already suffering for it. It is like having hardening of the arteries. It is like having high blood pressure. The person does not know what is happening to them until the body can no longer tolerate the disease. By then, horrible damage has already been done. Now, I've had a kidney transplant, and many of the other people whom I have met who have had a kidney transplant had one because of high blood pressure. In fact, we've even had a person who's worshipped at the Nile Street Church of Christ several times who had that very problem. One lady that my wife and I got to know, who used to work for the Microsoft Corporation in Washington, one day at work just suddenly collapsed. She had been living with high blood pressure without knowing it, and thus did not treat it. And it finally just destroyed her kidneys. And so her kidneys failed, and she collapsed. They got her to a hospital, and she managed to get on dialysis and eventually get a transplant, and now is doing much better. The same thing happens in the spirit. My dear friends, remember the words of Matthew 6. That the Lord Jesus made us think that there's more to life than our food and clothing. Listen to Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, going back to the book of Amos, he tells us about the devastation of not being able to hear the Word of God. The people would make a desperate search for the Word of the Lord. Here are men awakening to a sense of their privileges when their awakening is too late. Often we do not treasure something until it is taken away from us. people can become very desperate during a famine. Now, this is not going to be a pretty picture. But the Bible makes reference to women eating their own children. Did you know that? I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy 28. It's a horrible threat from God as to what he would do to Israel. If his people continued to reject him and to turn to idols and other sins, then he lists many of the consequences, all of which eventually came true with Israel. Listen to the horrible, horrifying words of Deuteronomy 28, verses 53 through 57. Are you ready for this? God told Israel that if they disobeyed him and refused to repent, he says, "You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. The sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the rest of his children whom he leaves behind, so that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy so distress you at all your gates." Now, before I go any further, did you catch what that said? A man would eat his own child and would be enraged at the rest of his family because they would want to have some of this child. It's horrible, isn't it? I'm not done, though. Verse 56. "The tender and delicate woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity, will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and her daughter her placenta, which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of everything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy so distress you at all your gates." And the book of Lamentations, chapter 4, shows that what I've just read to you was fulfilled in Judah. When Babylon attacked Jerusalem, the siege was terrible, and all food was consumed, and all food from the outside was cut off. And so verse 10 says, "The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people." 2 Kings chapter 6 also shows that Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, had experienced this kind of a famine before. Yet they thought that it could not happen again, as Amos was prophesying to them. 2 Kings 6, starting at verse 26. And this is happening while Israel was being sieged by an enemy, it says, "Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, 'Help, my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?' Then the king said to her, 'What is troubling you?' And she answered, 'This woman said to me, "Give your son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, "Give your son, that we may eat him." But she has hidden her son. In AD 70, when Rome attacked Jerusalem, the same thing happened. Do you remember the Donner Party just south of Klamath Falls here in America? Remember the soccer team airplane crash in the Andes Mountains many years ago? In Africa, famine's been bad enough that people try to eat grass. Listen to this that I want to read to you. A peasant described the famine in Russia in 1932-33 as follows. "We've eaten everything we could lay our hands on. Cats, dogs, field mice, birds. When it's light tomorrow, you will see the trees stripped of their bark, and the horse manure has been eaten. Sometimes there are whole grains in it." Similarly, spiritually, people will turn to anything when they cannot get or do not go to the Word of God. They'll take in materialism, alcohol, drugs, man's psychology, cults, the New Age movement, psychics, evolution, communism, socialism. You can go on with the list. 1 Samuel 28 reminds us of the desperation of Saul. His kingdom was falling apart. The Philistines were about to overwhelm him. So he goes to a witch, and there he speaks to Samuel, who had been dead. 1 Samuel 28:15 says, "Now Samuel, whom God had allowed this woman to raise from the dead, said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' And Saul answered, 'I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do.'" You see, men and women will believe anything and do anything when they do not have the Word of God. Just witness most Americans. Witness most Europeans. Witness most people in most continents on the earth. The Israelites of Amos' day would search, but they would come up empty. The young would faint from thirst for the Word of God, Amos said. Here, the strongest of the nation, that is, the youth, are pictured as even suffering from this spiritual famine. Those trusting in idols would fall permanently. Dan and Beersheba are mentioned because those are the two places that the first Jeroboam began idolatry, and from which Israel never repented. Well, friends, again, I have shown you the Word of God. I urge you to turn to God's Word right away. If you need help in doing this, the Nile Street Church of Christ would be delighted to help you. And you are invited to worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. You can look in the yellow pages under Church of Christ, find the church's ad, you'll see a map there, as well as the worship times. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about the dangers of not hearing God's Word. This has been Perception with Don Rule in the Nile Street Church of Christ in Crown Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay, Spirit, lay, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and as we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Nearer here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay, Spirit, lay, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Pray.
Lord.